Let's all come together in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would anoint my words today, that they be for your glory and your glory alone, that you would minister to each and every one of us according to our needs, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, welcome to part two of Jabez and the prayer he prayed. Once again, we'll read the passage before we begin. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. And it says, "And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." So let's summarise what we covered last time before we move on. Last time we discovered that Jabez was of the tribe of Judah. He was the same as King David and was the same of the tribe that our Lord Jesus Christ was born of. And we discovered that the circumstances prevailing at the time of his birth were not good. Consequently, we read that his mother called him Jabez, meaning sorrowful, because he brought her great pain. Now, whether that was in childbearing, or because it added to her financial woes, or something beyond that, we don't know. And we don't know because the scriptures are silent on the matter. We found out that Jabez grew into a young man that was more honourable than all his brethren. In fact, he was heavy-hearted in wanting to do good. And perhaps one reason why he was an honourable person was because he had been taught in the ways of the Lord God of Israel. Now, question. Why do we know that? Because Jabez calls on the Lord God of Israel. You know, if you don't know someone, you usually don't go knocking. Last time, I proposed that the prayer of Jabez formed five parts rather than what is traditionally known or preached on as four parts. The first part involved Jabez calling on God, and I speculated that his opening words occupied the greatest time of his prayer. Part two of his prayer went like this: Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Have you heard yourself praying such a prayer? Oh God, bless me. We heard that a blessing means to bestow a benefit that is altogether an abundance. And why a blessing? Well, so that we might maximise our life's journey for the sole purpose of bringing glory to our God and fulfilling his purposes. Now, part three, we found out that Jabez prays, "And enlarge my coasts." Coasts meaning borders or boundaries. "Increase my territory." And with this request for real estate, I remark that the only purpose God places wealth into our hands is for the shepherding in of his, God's, spiritual influence. And so with that brief introduction, we now come to part four of the prayer of Jabez. And Jabez asks the God of Israel in 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10, "And that thine hand might be with me." To me, it's obvious that Jabez did not want to step out and take possession of his new territory that the Lord might bless him with, without the knowledge that the Lord was with him every step of the way. How often do we race off and do something without inviting the Lord to be with us? I know Jesus said in Matthew 28 verse 20 that, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But does that mean that because he said it once, we need never ask him to be with us ever again? The answer is, of course not. God delights in our prayers. I relate a story of the young couple that were married some 30, possibly 40 years ago. And at the time they were in love, and you know, you look into one another's eyes and oh, I love you. And I'm... anyhow, 30, 40 years later, the young lady, who's now a little bit older, in fact 30 or 40 years older, comes to her husband and says, "Darling, do you still love me?" He says, "I told you 30 or 40 years ago that I loved you. If anything changes, I'll let you know." To communicate with our Heavenly Father regularly makes perfect sense when we are in a relationship. A prayer such as, "Lord, whether I go to the right today or whether I go to the left today, please be with me," certainly does not point to a lack of faith, but instead I believe it points to a willingness for relationship. King David displayed his confidence in the relationship he had with the Lord when he prayed in Psalm 138, 7 through to 10. "Where shall I go from my spirit? Or where shall I flee from my presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, then dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." You know, that was relationship. He knew that God would be with him everywhere he went. For Jabez to ask that thine hand might be with me is to me a sign of affection. It's a statement of his love for and confidence in the Lord. Jabez was revealing the intimacy that he had and wanted to keep with God. When we pray to our Heavenly Father, are we comfortable and intimate with our words? Or do we find our prayers awkward, even formal and starchy? Evaluating such a simple concept will give us an idea, each and every one of us personally, how we're travelling with our relationship with the Lord. We'll move now to 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10. Part 5 of Jabez's prayer concludes, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Now some Bible versions render that line, "Keep me from evil, that I may not harm others." Whichever way one looks at the wording of this last prayer request, Jabez does not want to be associated with any being or anything that has any association with evil. Evil, of course, is the modus operandi of Satan the devil. Not only does Satan want to inflict pain and grief upon us, he also wants to entice us to listen to his temptations so that we will bring pain and grief to others. And by being submissive and attentive to such unholy instructions, we are in effect offering our worship to the Prince of Darkness. It is exactly the opposite of what God commands us to do. And his commands are clear, concise and simple. They are to love and obey him. Of course, he is the righteous and holy God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, just in case there's some mistake as to who the God is that we're worshipping. And we are to love and obey him alone. Secondly, God wants us to love and care for our neighbours, just as we would want them to love and care for us. Now, by praying, "Keep me from evil, that I may not harm others," sees Jabez confess that he desires to live a righteous life, separated from evil, while at the same time acknowledging that his God, our God, is a righteous and powerful God, well capable of ensuring his protection on earth and also beyond the grave. the character of God is revealed here. Jabez wants to be just like God. Do we want to be just like God? Righteousness and all things separated from evil. God is righteous through and through, saturated through and through with righteousness, yet at the same time completely and absolutely separated from all things evil. As Christians, shouldn't we pray our prayers like that as well? Jesus taught us to pray, actually, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Of course, evil there refers to the father of all lies. That's Satan himself. By praying that prayer, we too declare that our God is God alone, and he is righteous and true, and at the same time separated from all evil. And he is all-powerful and well able to deliver us from evil, both in this life and the life to come. Notice I've said this several times now. I want you to get it very clear. God's justice and his judgments are true and holy, whether you think so or not. And they can be no other way, because he is totally saturated with righteousness and at the same time completely and absolutely removed from all things evil. It is, in fact, our prayer in order that we might live our lives aright. It's our prayer of protection. It's our prayer of hope. It's our prayer of faith. And it's our prayer of salvation. It's also our prayer of submission. Often we miss that one. For when we give our lives to Christ, the King James refers to it as servants of God. The more accurate translation is slaves of God. Finally, we come to the end of the story of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4 verse 1. And God granted him that which he requested. Praise God. Jabez gets a good ending. And isn't that exactly what each of us want for ourselves, for our loved ones, and certainly for our neighbours that live beyond our front doors? So why did God grant Jabez all that he requested? Firstly, I believe Jabez had risen above his circumstances. I would hope that you apply this to your own lives. Do I rise above my circumstances? I believe that Jabez had decided to look up at God and not down at his trials and tribulations. And these trials and tribulations had been served up to him from the moment of his birth. I believe that he was granted that which he asked because Jabez chose to live an honourable life. He chose to be a godly example to others. Are we godly examples to others? I believe Jabez was wise, and I believe he was wise because Scripture tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And Jabez acknowledged that the God of Israel was the one and only true God. You see, you can't have one God and then another one on the side and then perhaps another couple in the cupboard. We laugh, but sadly, so many of us in our community and over the Christmas period that we had, I met quite a number of people who have never been to church, and their theology was quite disturbing, to say the least. They had a mixture of so many religions and so many little gods, it was frightening. It was sad. That's what it was. It was sad. I believe that God granted Jabez what he asked because he communicated with God through prayer regularly. And I believe that Jabez was granted by God that which he asked because his prayer life developed into a deep, trusting, respectful, and intimate relationship with the living God. Jabez wanted to be obedient to God. Are we willing, when we get out of bed in the morning and put our little slippers on, wanting to be obedient to God? Does God even come into our thought patterns when we get out of bed in the morning? I believe Jabez also had a desire to see the Lord's influence spread abroad. Do you have a deep desire to see your neighbours in this town of Tenterfield saved and walking with the Lord? I know I have, and I know Deborah has. I hope we all have. Jabez was also prepared to step out in faith, but insisted on God leading the way. That's why his prayer was answered. And lastly, I believe his prayer was answered because in his stepping out, Jabez wanted God to encamp about him and protect him. Jabez wanted to live a righteous life that mirrored the image of his Heavenly Father, so that he could remain a blessing to others, not hurting them as he grew in stature, and all for the sake of the Lord's testimony. Everything we do should be for the sake of the Lord's testimony. I mentioned last week that I myself have prayed the prayer of Jabez often over many years. I can see myself walking along the beach just when we used to live at Cabarita with my eyes closed. No one on the beach. I used to think, you know, I'd walk along the beach, eyes closed, praying. Because it was just a long, straight stretch of beach. And I concluded in my own mind that if my feet suddenly got wet, I was heading to the east. And if it started to get tough and I was going, I knew I was going up sand hills. So I was pretty right. I just walked along with my eyes closed, praying. And I do that regularly. And I pray the prayer of Jabez. Oh, Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. And away I'd go. And I've made that prayer my own, often. Now, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote the book Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through to the Blessed Life, professes that he's prayed the prayer every day for nigh on 40 years. Now, I'll come back to Wilkinson soon. Let me make this point. Praying any prayer repetitiously is not a problem. Repetitious prayer, when prayed sincerely, aids in transforming our lives. As I said last time, do we own a core prayer that leads us forward and gives us purpose in life? Do we have a prayer that we pray repeatedly that aids in setting our course? By making the prayer of Jabez our own, it may very well help us in that pursuit. But on the other hand, when a prayer is prayed vainly, no matter how many times it's prayed, it achieves nothing. It's empty. There's nothing in it at all. There's no engagement with the Almighty at all, because our heart is not connected to the petition. God only ever listens to our hearts. Alternatively, when we pray a prayer as a formula, perhaps a formula for personal success, and heck, I've prayed plenty of them over the years, God immediately looks at our motive. A prayer for personal success will always fail should God see that our focus is on self rather than on Him and others. I remember years ago I just resigned from the Queensland Police Force, having had a very successful career, to go into business. You see, and I remember going with my business partner at the time to the pastor. We were attending church, we were Christians at that stage, to confirm with our pastor that it was a brilliant decision, because the money we would raise would go into the gospel, to further the spread of the gospel. Well, that was true at the time, I thought. But after many years of operating a successful business, it was obvious that we had lavished more money on ourselves than we had in putting it into the gospel. And one day, when God talks sometimes, it's just an impression you get, and then you verbalize it out afterwards. One day God gave me this impression, and when I verbalized it out, it simply said, "You will lose everything." And I resisted that for years and years and years. Until we lost everything. Why? Why did that happen? My motive was really wrong. I was lying through my teeth. My heart really wasn't there to give all the money to the gospel and a few, you know, enough for Vegemite sandwiches and stuff for us. No, no, no. My heart wasn't that way at all. You see, we have to, God knows in reach our hearts. Our heads get in the way too often. Now, I mention this because the controversy emanating from Dr. Bruce Wilkinson's book mainly surrounds his challenge to the reader. And this is Wilkinson's challenge. Get a load of this. He says, after having written a big book on the prayer of Jabez, he said, attempt something large enough that failure is guaranteed unless God steps in. That's why it's so controversial. Now, I've done that often and failed. Was it of God? I suspect yes and no. There's no doubt in my mind, though, that Wilkinson believed Jabez applied that principle to his life and expressed it through the prayer he prayed. Now, I'd like to say this in response to that comment. Prayer can never be used as a gimmick. And certainly, I believe Jabez's prayer could never be viewed as such. Now, I want to put a passage up from C.S. Lewis. And, of course, we all know C.S. Lewis, great Christian theologian. A man who said he came into the kingdom of God. He was dragged into the kingdom of God, kicking and screaming. He didn't want to come in, but he came in. But what a great man of God. And this is what he said. There are no doubt passages in the New Testament which may seem at first sight to promise an invariable granting of our prayers. But that cannot be what they really mean, for in the very heart of the story, we meet a glaring instance to the contrary. In Gethsemane, the holiest of all petitioners, Jesus himself, prayed three times that a certain cup might pass from him. It did not. After that, the idea that prayer is recommended to us as a sort of infallible gimmick may be dismissed. Prayer is not a gimmick, nor is it a shopping list, as I mentioned last time, nor is it infallible. Prayer is not even a recipe for success. I mean, for example, if I pray this, I'm going to put this and this and this in to the bowl, and at the end I know I'm going to get a beautiful big chocolate sponge cake. No, that's not what... We can't assess prayer on those levels. Prayer cannot be viewed like that. Prayer is simply communication. Prayer is speaking, and prayer is listening. Prayer is about aligning our minds and hearts with God's sovereign purposes. Whether we are in the midst of serving Him, whether we're in the midst of suffering, or whether we're in the midst of enjoying the rewards that He's blessed us with. Our whole purpose is to align our minds and hearts with His sovereign purpose. Now, prayer is a conversation with the one who loves us and who bought us, the one who redeemed us at great price. Doesn't the word of God in Isaiah say, "Come, now, let us reason together, thus saith the Lord." He's inviting us to participate in communication, in conversation with Him every moment of every day. Just consider for a moment how empty we would all feel if we had no knowledge of prayer, nor any knowledge of a transcendent deity. Nothing to call on at all. How would you feel? Me, my life would be unbearable. What about you? You see, prayer is so very important. I remember about a year ago, a lady, one of my neighbours, had died down the road here in Logan Street, and I went on invitation to speak with the family. And in the course of the discussion, I simply said, "Why don't we, the three children, there was the lady and the two sons, why don't we all just have a prayer?" Well, the young lady, or the lady, the daughter, she said, she became all emotional. "Oh, I've forgotten how to do that," was her words. And I thought, how sad. How sad, I've forgotten how to do that. And so I took her by the hand and we all held hands. Wasn't that lovely? And we prayed. And obviously the Spirit of the Lord touched her. I don't know where she is or what she's doing now. She didn't live in Tenterfield. But Father, I pray that you'll continue to minister to her, that you'll bring her back into your loving care. Dr. John MacArthur made this comment in regard to the prayer of Jabez. Prayer is a rich privilege God graciously grants to his children, enabling us to express our submission to his will for our lives. To that end, may we all learn to pray with the humility, dependence and expectation of blessing that Jabez exhibited. Wise words. We Christians acknowledge that our Father is a loving God and a God who wants to bless us abundantly, but it is more often our heart condition rather than not asking that stands in the way of what God wishes to do in and through us. Do we all want to know what the will of God is for our lives? Anyone want to know what the will of God is for our lives? Then here's the answer. And it's an answer Jabez knew well. Prayer, and plenty of it. I can write you out a script right now. Yeah, prayer, and as often as you like. Take as often as you like. Overdose on it. Prayer is the means through which the divine and his subjects develop relationship. And this is how it goes. This is how I see it. Regular prayer assembles knowledge and understanding. Is that where we are? Knowledge and understanding. Unless each party knows and understands the other, nothing is likely to transpire. Time spent in prayer builds companionship and trust. Determined prayer builds respect towards one another, and with respect comes intimacy. Instead of knowing him as God, as Ray read in today's scripture, he becomes our heavenly Father. And it's in the realm of intimacy that our prayer life comes alive and we experience an open heaven. When we become so familiar, so intimate with our Lord, hearing his will for our lives will not be difficult. For it's in this secret place that we will know God's will for our life. Psalm 91 reads as follows. He that dwells, we that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His trust shall be my shield and buckler. And God answers, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high. Because you have known my name, you shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honour you. With long life will I satisfy you. And most importantly, I will show you my salvation. Please don't go to bed tonight until you've read the entire psalm. Psalm 91. Get your Bibles out. Dust them off. Open it up. Psalm 91. And read it. And ponder on it. It is life. What if the scripture in 1 Chronicles 4:10 had read this? And God did not grant Jabez all that he had asked, for he had other plans for him. What would Jabez have done? I suspect because Jabez was an honourable man, he would have continued to serve God in another way, which would have been God's will for his life anyhow. How do we react when answers to prayer don't seem to go the way we expect? Do we find ourselves throwing in the towel all too often, all too soon? Even perhaps not even believing that God even exists? Is that some of the stuff that pops into our head when we don't get the answers to our prayers? Well, of course, we can't rationalize God away because there's too much evidence to back his existence. There's too many testimonies that exist to excuse him into oblivion. Remember, as believers, our job is not to question. Our job is to be obedient and to place our trust in God's word, no matter what. Let's not forget God's greatest blessing to humankind. It's not more influence and responsibility. That's not God's blessing to mankind. His blessing is reconciliation with himself through faith in Christ's work. Consequently, it's fulfillment, not success, that is the object of a Christian's life. God is in charge and he will outwork his plan of redemption despite us. And he'll do it his way and his way alone. By all means, let's pray the prayer that Jabez prayed. Yes, let's make it our prayer by including it in our prayer talk regularly. But let's ensure that as we pray it, the prayer comes from the very depths of our inner being. So here now is my summary of the prayer of Jabez in 5 simple statements. Bless him. Bless me. Stretch me. Guide me. Protect me. We'll close with this proverb that I shared last time. Proverbs 15 verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Vain, repetitious prayer is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his, that's God's, delight. When you pray an upright, a person who lives an upright life, and pray sincerely from the depths of his heart like Jabez did, that is God's delight. Let's ponder that proverb as we consider the prayer of Jabez this week. Praise the Lord.